Falun Gong is freely practiced in more than 50 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the news you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to the weekly FGM-TV News Review on August 27, 2002. I'm David Tompkins. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while in detention is 458, with details of 6 deaths received this week. However, reliable sources inside China put the actual death count in the thousands. In the last 7 days, reports of persecution have come in from 12 provinces and from the city of Shanghai. And finally, 404 people solemnly declared that the statements extracted under torture are null and void. They said that they intend to continue to practice Falun Gong. Our top story this week, the World Psychiatric Association voted to send a fact-finding team to China to investigate, among others, the abuse of Falun Gong practitioners in mental institutions. And some of our other stories, an update on the UN refugees forcibly deported back to China from Cambodia, a University of Guangzhou professor dies under suspicious circumstances, a state of emergency is declared in Hunan province. Falun Dafa programs are broadcast on cable TV in Gansu province. A peasant woman discovers that doing good things has many rewards. Painter Zhang Suying was denied entry into Hong Kong. Practitioners gathered in Bavaria. Falun Dafa is introduced in the Crimea Peninsula. And Toronto practitioners dance at an annual celebration of the ruling Liberal Party. The Associated Press reported that the world's leading psychiatric association voted Monday, August 26th, to look into reports that China is silencing dissidents by confining them to mental wards, where some, including Falun Gong practitioners, are drugged or undergo electric shocks. The World Psychiatric Association hopes to send a fact-finding team to China, a move that could lead to Beijing's expulsion from the professional brotherhood if it resists the investigation as it has other similar missions in the past. The group said that among those reportedly detained in mental hospitals are nearly 500 members of the Falun Gong. We are concerned that they have Falun Gong members who are not patients in their hospitals, outgoing association president Juan J. Lopez Ibor told the World Congress of Psychiatry, gathering Monday in the Tokyo suburb of Yokohama. I'm concerned about the abuse of psychiatry, he said. In some cases, individuals without mental problems allegedly have been forced to take psychiatric drugs and given electroshock therapy, sometimes as punishment for their views, the association said, citing reports from international nonprofit organizations and family members. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Mary Robinson visited China last week and said that the detention of Falun Gong members in psychiatric wards was an ongoing problem. She also said that UN officials have had difficulty in getting permission to investigate the alleged abuses. Chinese officials vehemently deny holding dissidents in mental institutions. In its vote Monday, the association, which represents professional groups from 105 nations, said it wants to inspect China's hospitals by May after working out ground rules with Chinese authorities. Lopez Ibor said he went to China in February to meet with the Chinese Deputy Minister of Health, Jiao Wei Ma, and to discuss potential of investigating the claims. 2 weeks ago, FGM-TV brought you a breaking report on 2 Falun Gong practitioners with UN refugee certificates that had been forcibly deported back to China from Cambodia. In a letter to the ambassador of Cambodia in Washington, D.C., Levina Lemon, the executive director of the U.S. Committee for Refugees, a non-governmental organization concerned with refugee protection worldwide, wrote that the USCR strongly protests the Cambodian government's recent decision and urges them to refrain from such action in the future. In the absence of a national procedure to determine refugee status, Cambodia permits the United Nations Human Rights Commission to operate in the country and to determine such claims. By failing to respect this process in the case of Mr. Lee and Ms. Zhang, Cambodia has violated its international obligations. Ms. Lemon concluded that by reminding the ambassador that Cambodians have known persecution. For years, hundreds of thousands of Cambodian refugees fled their country to escape persecution and death, and were protected and assisted by the international community. It is therefore, she said, particularly disturbing that the Cambodian government should turn its back on other asylum seekers. Associated Press reported that other Falun Gong practitioners in Cambodia have gone into hiding since the deportation. Each week, we bring you stories of those who are enduring mistreatment at the hands of Chinese authorities. And for many, like 30-year-old University of Guangzhou professor Li Xiaojing, their stories come too late. Professor Li was abducted by several thugs on June 27, 2002, and taken to the brainwashing class at Huang Pu Drug Rehabilitation Center. She died the next day under suspicious circumstances. At the time of her death, all practitioners held at the center were moved to a meeting room, and they were forbidden from leaving. The entrance to her room was blocked, and that night the practitioners in adjacent rooms were moved elsewhere. A few days later, the head of the local 610 office, a government branch specifically created to persecute Falun Gong, told several practitioners that Li Xiaojing had already died. Because Falun Dafa practitioners held in the brainwashing center are kept isolated from each other in separate rooms, and with both outside communication and communication between practitioners prohibited, little is known about how Li Xiaojing died. We hope that independent human rights organizations can help investigate this case. CNN reported that a state of emergency was declared in the central province of Hunan. Surging water levels in the country's second biggest freshwater lake threaten more than 10 million people. The lake acts as a giant overflow for the flood-prone Yangtze River, and should the Dongting burst its banks, an estimated 10 million people as well as 1.6 million acres of fertile farmland are at risk. Hunan has been one of the province's worst hit by the flooding this year. This month alone, more than 100 million people were killed, while the total damage bill across China is reportedly at least $3 billion. Falun Dafa programs broadcast on cable TV stations in Gansu province. According to sources in China, at around 7 o'clock on August 17, 2002, the Baiyin cable TV station in Gansu province broadcast a 3-minute Falun Gong program entitled History Will Judge. The station has an audience of more than 10,000 local viewers, and the program showed the true evil nature of Jiang Zemin's persecution. The next day, as news spread around the city, many plainclothes policemen appeared on the streets. A peasant woman who distributed flyers telling the facts of the persecution has escaped drought and insect infestation and has been able to provide for she and her son. During a drought, when she saw the corn seedlings were on her mountain plot were quite sparse, she transplanted some seedlings onto the plot to fully utilize the space. Someone told her not to waste her time because transplanted corn seedlings don't survive. But it suddenly started to rain, and as a result, the transplanted corn seedlings thrived. She said, "The crops that I planted this year are growing very well. While other people had a very poor harvest on their flax crop from the destructive insects, meanwhile, our flax plot next to theirs had no insects and grew just fine." She also said, "Once when I was out delivering truth-clarifying material, I got tired when I came to a village. An older lady whom I had never met called to me and said, 'My girl, I've been waiting for you. Come and have some tea and steamed buns. You look just like my daughter.' She said, 'I feel great. Since I started distributing truth-clarifying materials, everything has gone well for me.'" Painter Zhang Zuying, who had been jailed in mainland China for Falun Gong activities, was intending to open an exhibition of her traditional Chinese-style art in Hong Kong City Hall, but was denied entry last week. Zhang, an Australian citizen, talked with the Associated Press by telephone from Sydney. She said she had been kept out of Hong Kong while she tried to attend a conference in January 2001 and was again barred last week. "I'm obviously on their blacklist," she said. "This is absolutely unacceptable for Hong Kong, which is supposed to have freedom of speech." Zhang said her art has nothing to do with Falun Gong, but added she hoped to voice an appeal to China to stop cracking down on the group. She said that immigration officials gave no reason for barring her and organized 13 uniformed officers to escort her to the flight back to Australia. Australian citizens do not require visas for Hong Kong. Normally, they're admitted without incident. But a spokesperson for the Australian consulate, Wan Wai-Lun, declined comment on Zhang's case. And now to Bavaria, Germany, where practitioners gathered in early August for 2 days to study and share experiences. The practitioners took advantage of an annual festival to set up a Falun Gong consultation center, which allowed them to introduce Falun Dafa to local people and many tourists. There were veteran practitioners, new practitioners, those who had just begun, and those who wanted to join. They shared their experiences, spent time reading together, and discussed problems they met with in the course of their cultivation. When practitioners went to the Crimea Peninsula, they visited a beach in the city of Alushta. People came to look at the display of pictures and information. One lady felt that this was something she had searched for, and it really touched her heart. She began to read Chuan Falun, and she came and stood by the boards and began to introduce Falun Dafa to others. And in Toronto, the annual celebration of Canada's ruling Liberal Party was held on August 17th, and the Guanming Dance Group, composed of Toronto Falun Dafa practitioners, was invited to perform. Over 40 members of parliament and provincial ministers joined. After a short introduction, six practitioners danced to the music of Pudu. A 14-year-old practitioner played the guzheng, an ancient Chinese musical instrument. The last performance was called Beautiful Tang Dynasty, which depicted the lives of women during the most prosperous period of Chinese history. The audience learned that at that time, women also emphasized inner cultivation in playing musical instruments, playing, and so on, in addition to their work. The practitioner's performance won warm applause. The hosting MP thanked the practitioners in Chinese, and he said that the Canadian government must make clear to the Chinese government that the persecution of Falun Gong must stop, and that he would make sure this happened. Many people said they just learned that day that China had such beautiful culture and history. Because some late arriving guests missed the show, the practitioners were asked to perform a second time. In the evening, after the ministers made their speeches, the host announced that the Falun Gong practitioners would come back to perform by popular demand. They intentionally delayed the practitioners' second performance to coincide with the media's arrival so that the TV could broadcast the practitioners' performance live on the 6 o'clock news. The entire event, including the practitioners' performance, was broadcast live on the internet by the Liberal Party. In the past few years, the coal mines in China have claimed many lives. In the following story, a Falun Gong practitioner tells of his experiences in the mines. He said, "I started to practice Falun Dafa in 1996, and I would like to share two experiences that I have had so more people can understand the truth about Falun Dafa. The first was in 1997 when I was in an underground mine. Some miners were smoking, which caused a gas explosion. Almost everyone at the scene was severely burned. My hands and my face were also badly burned. Normally, I would have to go to a hospital for treatment. I had only been practicing Falun Dafa for around 1 year, but I did not go to the hospital, nor did I have any medicine or injections. I often went outside and my burns healed very quickly without leaving any scars. My co-workers' burns took a long time to heal and left large scars. My second experience was in the spring of 2002. The ceiling of the mine suddenly collapsed and crashed onto my head, pinning me beneath the rock. My fellow workmates quickly gathered around, but six or seven people together could not move the rock. At this time, I only felt that my head was a bit swollen, but was not scared at all. I told myself that I was a Falun Dafa practitioner and that I was all right. I called for teacher's help, and somehow I was able to get my head out from under the rock. When they took me to the hospital, blood was pouring out of my eyes, nose, mouth, and ears. The doctor said that the situation was life-threatening. However, when they took a CT scan of my head, they discovered that the blood from my injuries inside my skull did not stay there, but was instead pouring out my nose and mouth. Normally, in this situation, most people would die from bleeding inside the head and the high blood pressure. But the next day, I was able to sit up. On the fourth day, I was able to walk, and I left the hospital on the tenth day. If I did not practice Falun Dafa, I would have already died more than 10 times. Falun Dafa is good. Only when you have practiced it and experienced it for yourself will you realize the severity of the crimes committed by those who persecute Falun Dafa." Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.